Welcome to the Women Who Drone podcast. Join our community. Head to womenwhodrone.co to sign up for online courses, drone lessons, workshops, and more. womenwhodrone.co. Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining us today for our Women Who Drone podcast. My name is Elena, the founder of Women Who Drone, and today I am joined by Bethany Hall, a Geographic Information Systems Coordinator at Consolidated Utility District. Hi, Bethany. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thank you, Elena, for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to have you and to just learn about all things GIS from you, as well as just your career. Bethany, can you start off by just telling us about your background, where you grew up, where you're from, and then how you caught the flight bug and then jumped into the career that you are in now?
Yeah, I'm originally from Woodbury, Tennessee, which is a little bitty tiny town outside of Murfreesboro. I grew up on top of a mountain. And so all day long, planes and stuff would fly over. And I was just really curious about, you know, how planes operated and how you knew to fly and that kind of aspect of it. And even as a kid, my mom had actually taken some flight lessons when she was younger. So I remember finding her E6B. It's like a flight computer. It's like a slide rule. She had that from like the 60s or the 70s. And it kind of helps you calculate, you know, how much weight you can have on an aircraft and how far you can fly on a tank of gas and that kind of stuff. I found that fascinating. And she would talk about the clouds and the weather and things like that. So as a kid growing up, I mean, I just had the aviation bug. And I drove past an airport every day on the way to school. So I was just like, oh, there's a plane landing. Can we pull over? So just little things like that. The aviation bug bit me, I guess I would say, not long after my second child was born. So that was about 2007, 2008. I decided I wanted to take an introductory to flight lesson at my local airport. Found a flight instructor. And it was that airport that I had flown past every day, driving to school in that Nimble. And he met me there, and I climbed in the left seat of that little Piper Cherokee, and he said, all right, you ready to go? And didn't realize it. He was really letting me kind of drive. You drive with your feet, you know, because you control that on the ground, and then when you get up in the air, you kind of use the yoke and stuff to do different maneuvers. And so we take off down the runway, and I mean, I was just like, I'm flying, and I'm not on a commercial plane. I'm actually driving this thing. So I loved it. I was hooked almost immediately. So, and I had taken up to about 25 to 30 hours worth of lessons. So, and then I got out of aviation, manned aviation for a little while. My dad was sick with cancer. And so I came home to take care of him. But when he passed away, I promised him, I said, one day, Dad, I'm going to get that pilot's license for you.
Oh my God, that's such an inspiring story, Bethany. I feel like I can relate. I'm actually parallel to an airport. So I see the planes take off and land, the San Diego airport. And sometimes I tune into air traffic control and listen to the pilots.
Yeah, I live right here next to Honolulu's airport. And the flight line for Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam is here as well. So I have to, when we time stuff, every now and then you'll hear the F-22 screen blast. Every day is an air show.
Wow, that's
so
great.
I love it.
Oh my God, yeah, I know. I wake up to the sound of airplanes landing and taking off.
Yeah.
I mean, commercial.
It's great.
But amazing.
Yeah, here we hear the commercial flights. We hear the military flights. Mm-hmm. I can look out my front door and see the harbor. So, and then you see the planes, the helicopters, the island tours. Still want to fly helicopters, and hopefully one day, cross my fingers, maybe I'll be that person in the island hoppers plane or the little helicopter giving the tour. Hey, over here is Waimea Falls. Check it out.
Yes, that's amazing. One day I hope to get on a flight with you. So I would love to just get started with you just telling us about yourself and how you fell into the career that you are in at this moment.
I got started in GIS by accident. I kind of fell into the career after being a computer-aided draftsman back in the 90s. I went to tech school, worked for a utility. I was working for an electric utility here in my hometown of Murfreesboro, and just kind of fell in love with the idea that there's got to be something more than just drawing two-dimensional lines on a map. So a friend of mine, he introduced me to the idea of what GIS was, and he said, you got to come check out this new software. It's going to give us the ability to do data queries, and we can do selections and searches and all kinds of cool things to get information out of the data that we had been putting into this two-dimensional map system for years. And I saw the software and I was like, I'm hooked. Sign me up. You know, I'll shave my head, drink the Kool-Aid, whatever I need to do. Just get me into the industry. And from then on, I actually left my full-time position that I'd been at almost like for 7 to 8 years with a little family in tow. And I jumped ship and went to the City of Murfreesboro Planning and Engineering Department to learn how to be a GIS technician. And it was a part-time position with no chance of going full-time. And at the end of that year, it was like an apprenticeship. I ended up getting back into the industry, going and working for another like utility developer. I worked in, I kind of floated around a little bit, did some DOD work early on in the 2000s. And then I found my way back into utilities after going and working for Rutherford County GIS for almost about 10 to 12 years there. So that's kind of, I joined Consolidated Utility in July of 2018, and haven't looked back. So it's been a very interesting and fun ride.
That is incredible. It really sounds like quite the journey. So I just want to back up a little bit. For those of you that are listening, Bethany, could you tell our audience what GIS is? What does it stand for?
Sure. Yes. So what is GIS? And that's what everybody usually asks me, this because they don't understand what I do. And trying to explain this to family members has been, you know, kind of a chaotic journey itself. So GIS stands for Geographic Information Systems. And what that is, it's a system for creating, managing, analyzing maps and data. And what it does, it puts it all together in a spatial realm. So we take two-dimensional data and create 3D concepts from it. So we tie it to the earth, essentially. So this just connects maps, integrated location data, like where things are, all types of descriptive information, like what things are like in their relation to the spatial concepts. And this provides like a foundation for mapping and analysis. It's used in science. Almost every industry now has GIS somewhere within it. So pretty much it helps users understand patterns, relationships, and geographic contexts.
Can you pinpoint any specific areas that GIS is being used? I mean, it sounds like everywhere, but I know that it's very much related to Drone Deploy, which is a workshop that you taught for Women Who Drone. And for those of you who are listening, if you want to take this workshop, it's on our website, taught by Bethany. Yeah, if you can just give a little bit more background information around the different ways people can get into this industry.
Well, it's a whole lot easier to get into GIS now because it's become such a forefront leader out there. I mean, NASA's using it to map the face of Mars. They map the moon with it. I'm working on a research project right now with the Department of Defense, the Department of POW/MIA Accounting Agency, and we're using it to find potential recovery sites for missing servicemen. The drone aspect of it is huge. For utilities, where I work mainly, we're using it to map water tanks, field assets. They want to do engineering work with it, which is a really big ploy to bring more people into the field because it's costly to put a team of surveyors on the ground to go out and get this information because they'll spend days and lots of time and energy out there mapping a site where you can put a drone up in the air and within an hour, you can have that site almost mapped and fully to survey grade accuracy. And that's where we're seeing the benefit of it is in engineering, especially site planning, construction. The state of Tennessee uses it for bridge inspections, public safety. I've known friends of mine that fly in the public safety realm, they have found missing people with it. They recovered a lost child, an autistic child, and that child was actually found. He just wandered away from his house and was hiding kind of in the woods. And they used an infrared camera, it was at night, and they found him.
Wow. No, that's incredible. Yeah.
So little things like that, it covers everything.
Yeah, it sounds like the use cases are endless, which is really amazing. When it comes to drones, first off, from your experience, when did you start integrating drones into your GIS work? Or was it already when you started with Consolidated Utility District, where did you jump into the role and drones were already in the picture? Or was it something that you had to kind of bring on or get started? Just tell us a little bit more about your journey when it came to drones.
Oh, drones are fun. About 10 years ago, I got hooked on manned aviation. I'd always wanted to learn how to fly, so I took an introductory to flight lesson. And I tell you what, once the aviation bug bites you, it does not let go. So I ended up completing about 30 hours of manned aviation, and I've flown on Piper Cherokees and Cessnas and that kind of stuff. But the problem was, 6 or 7 years ago, my dad got sick with cancer, so I stepped back to help care for him, so I stopped flying. Drones kind of help keep me active in aviation. And while at Rutherford County GIS, we use aerial imagery, and it's a real costly product you have to purchase just about every year. And the problem is, they fly in March. It takes 8 to 9 months to get it processed. And by the time we get the end project of the completed aerial imagery for the county, it's time to fly it again. So, we're looking at data that was captured in March. We didn't get it until September or October from the person the company that supplied it. And we're talking, this is 6 and 3 inch aerial imagery, full color, or we could do near infrared as well. Well, the whole thing about drones were, what if we have got a subdivision that's going under development? Couldn't we go fly that 20 or 30 acres, turn that imagery product around in a day or so to help our engineers know where the stormwater engineering is going to have to go, where the utility lines are going to have to go in, how the construction crews can go in and lay out the underground utilities or the other assets, put in the poles. And so that's kind of how we got into it, was from just a site assessment for the engineering side of drones. So once we jumped into it there, I was the first one. I was like, hey, I understand aviation terminology. I'll go take the test. So I pretty much studied. And once the Part 107 came out, I was the first one. Literally, that stuff was released in August. I was taking the exam in September.
Way to go, woman who drones right there. So it sounds like you joined, you saw some efficiencies. You saw some inefficiencies and realized that there's a much quicker way to process and get this information, and knew about drone technology, and then you already had the knowledge to jumpstart. And it's true, this FAA Part 107 exam, there are a lot of questions that are very similar to the private pilot less exam. So it sounds like you were able to use that knowledge. So that is really great to hear. So that kind of leads me to my next question. You were working on programming databases and GIS related work with on the federal level. Are you allowed to share anything about that with us today?
Well, I can tell you, I'm doing a research project with the DPAA, and that's the Defense Department of POW MIA Accounting Agency. They're based here in Honolulu, Hawaii. We're a joint base, Pearl Harbor, Hickam. And what I'm doing, I'm helping them streamline that GIS system while kind of pulling in the field collection aspect of it. And drones, we're hoping, will become a part of that one day. Right now at the federal level, there's a lot of there's rules that they have to follow. And they plan missions in countries all over the world to do MIA recovery remains. So they're working closely with like partners in Korea, Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam, partners in Italy and Germany and other nations across the world, especially in Europe and the Mediterranean. So there's a lot of stuff that has to go on behind that. And so we're creating the data for those field guys to be able to go out there and say, all right, this is where, that plane may have crashed 60, 70 years ago. And we use historic aerial imagery to kind of tie that in with it as well. So that's about as much as I can really say. So a lot of it's classified, but it's really cool to be able to sit there and kind of help an analyst figure out where they need to go to do a mission or an investigation.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. It's almost like an investigation, and you really have the ability to find the clues with this technology, which I think is super fantastic. Drones in general, when it comes to GIS, are there, like, can I use my drone that I have here, like a Mavic Pro 2 or a Mavic, or are there specific drones that you must have to be able to do the type of work that you're doing, or do you need to have a special drone?
Well, in the beginning, I would say yes, you needed to have a special drone, but because the DJI platform keeps expanding, you can do a lot with a Mavic Pro, even the first generation Mavic Pro. I don't have as much luck doing any mapping work with some of the stuff that I fly with my Mavic Air, but I kind of call it my selfie drone. It's pocket size. I just carry it with me. But the Mavic Pro series is great. You can actually work with different software partners like Pix4D, Drone Deploy, SightScan, all incorporate that whole Mavic Pro series with it. So you can kind of go out and start doing GIS work. You know, if you needed to go out and say map your family, you know, farm or something like that, you can do that with your drone that you've got with you. You just need to kind of add a little bit of the software component to it to kind of make it a little bit better for the GIS computer systems to consume the data.
I was thinking the same. It sounds like, you know, there's not only a lot of softwares out there, but there are a lot of drones and they're all quite compatible with the softwares. So even if you're just a beginner, it looks like you can just, as long as you have those two things, you can go out there and like map your house and practice and come back and take a look at what you've done. Just wanted to make sure it's not, you know, very difficult to do, but it sounds like it's pretty user-friendly nowadays.
It is. And you'll notice like brands like the Parrot brands, Autel, they're all getting into it. And most of the GIS drone software sees those now. I mean, in the beginning, you were kind of pigeonholed to just a handful of drones, actually. But because the software is expanding exponentially along with the drone market, sky's the limit, honestly.
No pun intended.
no pun intended.
All right. So, yeah, I want to kind of move into, you know, what would you tell people that are listening today who might already know how to fly a drone, or maybe they're just getting started, and so far they've used their drone for videos and content. Now, what kind of advice or suggestions would you give to them if they wanted to break into an industry like yours?
If you want to break into GIS, I would pick a software platform like Pix4D, Drone Deploy, SightScan, one of those, and learn that software. Because what you're going to do is when you're out there flying, you're going to design a mission. So you're going to kind of plan out, is that going to be a 2D mission? Is it a 3D mission? Is it a planimetric? And that what that does is when the camera is pointing straight down at the ground, it's taking pictures at a certain interval so you can stitch these together and create a mosaic. So that's why I encourage everybody breaking into this. You want to learn the GIS side. There is open source GIS software that you can incorporate your drone imagery in right off the bat. So you're going to have to spend some time learning the GIS software and the processing software to kind of you can map these missions out. So that's the hard part for me in the beginning, was trying to figure out what software platform that I can use to bring it together into my GIS. And we've kind of, at CUD, we've kind of went with Drone Deploy. We did try SightScan. And we did work with Pix4D for a while. And a lot of those, the software learning curve was a little bit higher, but we found the Drone Deploy to let us kind of step back a little bit. And I could teach others how to use it very easily. So that was our big thing. It's could I teach the platform as easily as I could fly it? So I just still love it. You just got to experiment. And a lot of them got free trials. Get out there, try something, figure it out. If you don't like it, go to another one.
Of course, we have a workshop, virtual workshop on our website taught by Bethany Hall. So if you want to take a look at that, definitely go check it out. So I want to move into some rapid fire questions, a little bit of a fun part for you. So I'm going to start off by asking what your favorite drone is.
Oh, Phantom 4.
Favorite environment to fly?
I love flying in the fall time of the year and flying around beaches.
Favorite memory flying a drone?
Oh, we had a drone attack by a hawk.
Favorite location you've ever mapped before?
It would be a family cemetery in Woodbury, Tennessee.
Well, thank you so much, Bethany, for joining us today and sharing your story about all things GIS, as well as your story about how you got into drones and aviation. I do want to point out to everyone who is listening right now that Bethany Hall has taught a workshop that is available on our website. It's called How to Use Drone Deploy for Aerial Mapping and Surveying. If you want to learn more about GIS and mapping, it is on there, and we will include a link of it on the podcast. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. And Bethany, thank you most of all.
Thank you, guys. And get out and fly.